there's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.
And we are live. Welcome, folks, to episode 3519 of the Survival Podcast. We're going to do something today we haven't done in a while, and I got a long list, so I'm not going to tell you everything we're going to cover today right out of the gate like I usually do, just go through the bullet points. I don't want to make it take too long, but we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. Some of the stuff going on with Brandon, a.k.a. Biden, a.k.a. the President of the United States, if you believe that anyway. I don't believe you're really the president if you're not running things. But we got a bunch of stuff on him. A radio station host was just let go. Why? She told the truth and not in a slanderous way. I mean, just literally answered a question asked by another journalist, truthfully in relation to Biden in interviews. And she got fired. They said parted company. That means they fired her ass, right? Got some stuff going on with, Brandon's preps for his events. It's like getting a toddler ready to do a little play in school or something, giving them pictures of the podium and things like that. This will not be all about Brandon. There's a couple things on him. Bill Gates says we either have to stop cows from farting or stop eating beef. Don't worry, he has a solution, though. He's making a drug to give the cows so they'll fart less, and he's laboratory making meat for you. So whichever one of those works will be the one that pays off for him. Viktor Orban, who's he? He's the president of Hungary. Most Americans probably don't know that. Most Americans probably can't name five global leaders that are not Americans, just as ill-informed as we are. But he had some comments on the Ukraine-Russia war that we probably should pay attention to. We're going to talk about a peer-reviewed study that hopefully won't get my video demonetized or me thrown in YouTube prison, because it's about the fact that your life expectancy literally is lower now if you had two of the mRNA injections. Source on that is multiple, including a peer-reviewed study and Dr. Peter McCullough, who helped design the entire technology that delivers mRNA vaccines. The president of the NEA, this is the largest teacher union in the country, in a prepared speech, goes off on an unhinged rant that literally is a prophecy come true of a meme, all the things. And there's a bunch more. And we'll get to all of it in just a minute. But what we're covering today is stories that the media ignored this week. And what I want to say out of the gate is you'll see in several of the major news outlets in the links that I have sourced to prove that these things, well, they really happened. And you say, well, they didn't really ignore it, Jack. They put it. Yeah, but could you find it? If you weren't me, if you didn't have my connections, if somebody didn't send it to you, if you weren't tied in with cool people on places like Noster or X, would you ever know? And the answer is largely no. None of these stories were like front page news. Some of them really should have been. None of them were even like second, third tier, even when covered by major outlets. One of them was even picked up by over 300 different news entities, but unless you knew to look for it, you'd never hear about it. So when I say ignored, I don't mean unreported. I mean more like underreported, or just not what they think that you need to know about, something that maybe we might want to dig a little deeper into instead of rehashing the same news 87 times in 3 hours on Fox or CNN or MSNBC or whoever. So that's what I mean by ignored, that like these are actually big stories that impact the world that would allow you to make more informed and clearer decisions on where you stand on issues, things like that, that the media just thinks like, nah, let's just keep talking about the whole Biden-Harris thing and who's going to replace Joe, and let's keep telling people that they need to just give more money to Ukraine. Everything will be fine. Oh, yeah, Ukraine wants submarines. I shit you not. We'll cover that today, too. Before we do, let's hear from our sponsors of the day. Sponsor of the day number one today is Start9. Servers. Look, guys, I want to tell you, a lot of the shit that we talk about has to do with what the government does to us. Surveillance, right? Building freaking dossiers on every American, things like that. And then limiting what you can and can't say, where you can and can't say it to, possibly cutting you off from your own information, your ability to use money. Star 9 fixes all of this. It lets you take back your digital sovereignty. Because what it allows you to do is have all of the things that you store as data available to you from anywhere in the world over an encrypted, secure connection that the government can't do anything about. And you store your own files on your own server in your own location. You can have end-to-end encrypted messaging. You can run your own Bitcoin node. You can run your own Lightning node. You can run BTC pay server and be your own payment processor. You can do all of that and more. And I say this all the time, but if you can use a smartphone, right? If you have an iPhone or an Android phone or something like that, and you know how to install and use apps, you can do this. None of it really is that hard. And remember, Start9 will give you 9% off all purchases if you're an MSB member as well. So that is a huge discount on a product like this because, you know, they're not cheap. They're buy once, cry once, but they're not cheap. So when you get, you know, almost 10% off on something that's $300-$400, it's a pretty damn good discount. Pays for your membership for a year easily. Next, real quick on that. If you use the Fold card and you buy a gift card, you get another 9% off. So you can actually stack it and get 18% off Start 9 as an MSB member and earn sats back on the Fold side of the purchase. Next up today, let's talk about K9 Academy, Joel Ryle's online educational platform that will help you learn how to train your dog, because that's the reality. Is dogs are easy. It's people that are hard. It's people that mess things up. It's people that are like, well, I want to treat the dog like a person, or I just want to let the dog be a dog. You know, you can just let your dog be a dog after you instill the proper discipline so the dog can be a good member of the household, a good member of the homestead, etc. You can learn how to do all of that at canineacademy.us. Check it out. Joel Ryles is a good friend of the show. He's a good friend of me personally, and he will help you learn how to better train your dog. And I just realized somehow we did not have the screen share up on that. We'll go ahead and do that real quick, but mainly so I can move on. And let's start digging into today's topics. But definitely check out canineacademy.us. So I found this to be not surprising, but what I was surprised by is how quick this happened. So a radio show host out of Philadelphia, because Biden just did kind of a tour through Philadelphia. We'll talk about that later on the show as well. How somehow Philadelphia is what got him elected to the Senate in Delaware. I don't really know how that works, but we'll listen to Biden explain it. But this lady was asked a very simple question. She got the privilege, and I would say it is a privilege as a journalist, a podcast, or a show host, whatever, to maybe interview the President of the United States. It's not, and I don't know, maybe it was a privilege because, you know, they work for us type of thing, but it's a big deal. You get to interview the president of the country. I don't care who it is. It's a big deal. It's not something anybody can just do. Like you have to be, I guess, lucky or in the right place at the right time, have the right team working for you to get the president on the air. But she got the president onto her local radio station show in Philadelphia. And I think the show's called I'm a Black Woman. That'd be a good place for Biden to go and pander. And she was then interviewed because it's a big story that this smaller show got the President of the United States and asked a simple question. I'm going to play the question being asked and her answer right now.
Were those questions given to you by the White House or did you have for the campaign or did you have to submit questions ahead of this interview?
The questions were sent to me for approval. I approved them.
Okay, so the White House sent the questions to you ahead of the interview.
Yes.
Okay.
I got several questions, eight of them, and the four that were chosen were the ones that I approved.
Okay.
Okay, I want to let you know something that's not said here, and I have links to all this stuff today. You can read the article and more information on this, but if you just look at the headline, radio station cuts ties with host who revealed she asked Biden questions fed to her by the president's team. So she was asked point blank. I mean, I think it's actually kind of important that we understand what happened here, that this was not like a whistleblower thing or something like that. She didn't go out and seek attention. Her and another host, that was the gentleman in the left side of the screen as you looked at it, if you watch the whole thing that's not on that write-up, He's asked pretty much the same question. He gives the same answer. I don't know if he got fired or not either. Probably will eventually. They both asked the same four questions. This is kind of what tipped off other media as to, is something going on here? So they arranged an interview with both of these people, and they both basically gave the same answer. They handed us eight questions that we could answer, and we picked the four that seemed like the most to the point, real questions, not like why does Donald Trump have poopy pants, right? Like, these were actually substantive questions. Of course, because you already knew which four they picked, which four they approved, you could have scripted answers for the president. And being it's a radio interview, there's nothing that would prevent old Joe from being there, you know, reading it straight off a piece of paper, probably printed in like 97 size font or something like that. So this just is just another example of the man cannot function on his own. He can't. And I'm not even putting him down for that. God knows this could happen to any of us. This could happen to any of us. And it could happen at his age. It could happen a little older. It could happen a little younger. When my father-in-law was in a memory care facility, I'd walk around there, and a few of the people in there were early onset. And these were people like mid-50s, and being 52 myself scared the shit out of me. I will not mock a person for cognitive decline any more than I would mock a person who is severely autistic for being severely, like, you can't help that. That happened to him. But it is the reality that we're sitting in today, but you're not supposed to believe it, and you damn sure ain't supposed to talk about it. Now, this is my bigger issue, though. Don't we claim that we want journalists that have integrity? Don't the news outlets themselves claim, whether you believe they do or not, that they have integrity? I think MSNBC might be the most honorable media outlet out there right now. Now, don't worry, I didn't have an upper brain aneurysm or something. I'll explain. What I mean by that is MSNBC is pretty transparent. MSNBC is just kind of like, yeah, we totally shill for the left. Here's our news that's all slanted toward the left. Like, CNN tries to pretend to be an honest broker. They're not. Though, I don't know if they're trying to win back viewership or they just see the ship sinking and they're not really getting off, but they're trying to get on a lifeboat. They seem to be doing something that kind of looks like journalism right now. They ran a square debate. I mean, they really did. It was a square debate. They fact-checked Biden. But in the end, they're still shills for the left, and Fox shills for the right. But they all claim to have integrity. So this woman is what is she supposed to do? I'd like somebody to get the executive at this fucking radio station on some sort of interview. I'd like to get him. I know he won't come talk to me. But I'd like to be, well, what did you want her to do? Lie? Is that what? So you fired her for telling the truth. So why should anybody listening to your station trust a fucking thing any of you people in your media tell them? And the answer is they shouldn't. And they shouldn't trust anybody anyway. Like, the days of trusting media, unless you're stupid, should be over. Like, even if it sounds like it makes sense, even if it's from somebody on our side. I mean, Laura Loomer did that shit this weekend, didn't she? Did everybody see that? Biden had a medical emergency aboard Air Force One, and the press corps was kicked off the plane and not allowed to travel back. Then there's video of Biden getting off the plane, the press corps getting off the plane. People in the press corps say that we don't know what the hell she's talking about. Now, it's not that I don't believe that Biden has problems. It's not that I shill for the Democrats, for God's sakes, you know that. It's just this probably didn't happen. And she said she has sources, but she doesn't name any. Medical emergency vague. My wife showed me this on like Saturday or something. And I'm like, that's bullshit. She goes, how do you know? You didn't even look at it. I said, the person making the claim and the means by which the claims were made followed this pattern. So you got like claims to be independent media, loosely connected to Fox News through their streaming platform and all. You've got dyed in the wool. None of them can be trusted. You can't trust me. You can't trust me. I will never lie to you, but I can be wrong. Never said I couldn't be wrong. And you, even though I just told you I'll never lie to you, you should never assume that. You should always fact check everything that you, that's why I give freaking sources with everything that I present to you, at least things that would be in any way contentious. I always give you third party sources. I get people all the time feeding me information. What's your source? Well, I heard from a friend, not a source. Now, I may, if it's interesting, I may try to find another source on another, like, complete independent source, but that's what I do. I don't even consider myself a journalist on some levels, because a lot of what I do isn't journalism. It's teaching, it's education, it's lifestyle design. Like, I do some journalism, too, but when I do journalism, I follow, like, the basic rules of journalism. If you do not have two independently verified sources, you don't report something as fact. You report it as unconfirmed. If it's interesting enough and plausible enough that you want to report it and you think that it might be true, you say, I have a single unconfirmed source stating this fact. I have not verified it yet, but I think it might be true because. And if it is true, it means X. That's journalism. None of these people do journalism anymore, so you can't ever trust them. And you should verify everything. You should get in the habit of verifying everything. Here's what I'm going to say. Verify it if it's going to affect you. If you do not care, if you do not give a single F about a thing and you hear it, and unless like somebody you care about is acting on it and you want to verify or disprove it for them, let it go. But if you're going to actually like face any decisions in your life on anything that comes from the news, a newspaper, the TV set, a podcast, or any, you better verify it. Because, again, even the ones that are going to be honest with you like me, we can still be wrong. Sometimes I might jump the gun at something. Sometimes the thing seems so likely given what's been going on that I assume that it's true, and maybe I could have done a little more diligence in my research. It doesn't happen a lot, but it can happen. And I'm probably one of the few people that does this kind of work that would tell you that. But never trust anybody. Moving on with that, there's a new study out, and I want to be careful how much I say about this, and I'm going to encourage you guys to read the two links that I have for you on this. But this is a study that is peer-reviewed and is published, and what I've got on the screen right now, for those who can't see it, is a write-up on Substack by Dr. Peter McCullough talking about it. A critical analysis of all-cause deaths during the COVID-19 vaccination. This was specifically done in a single Italian province, but it was a very well-done study. I have another link that you guys can look up as well. All-cause mortality higher in COVID-vaccinated, new study. And this is on the Vigilante News Network. And if we drill down in here, we can actually find a place where they took all these numbers out of the chart. Again, this was covered by Dr. McCullough. And they figured out, let me pull it up real quick, find it, that there. This, I'm going to just highlight this and read it, and hopefully, you know, I won't get smited by YouTube. This means the subjects vaccinated with two doses lost 37% of life expectancy compared to the unvaccinated population during the follow-up considered. There's also a video of this being explained that I have a link to in the show notes today. But I find this to be very disturbing. The media still has no interest in telling the truth about all of this. I mean, it's one thing. It's one thing that they buried the truth during the hysteria. And I guess you could, you know, maybe I don't want to, but maybe you could give some of them half a pass. And that they did the wrong thing for the right reason. They really believed with it. Like, at this point, don't you have to step back and just go, hey, maybe things weren't what we were told, at least 100%. Don't you have to do, if you want any credibility as a journalist, don't you have to take some interest in this? Maybe not if you'll get fired for it. I mean, apparently simply answering a question truthfully as a journalist in a way that wasn't, there's no debate in this. Like, if she was lying when they got rid of her, they would have said, we got rid of her for lying. They didn't. They just said, oh, we don't want her to work with her no more. You know, maybe there's a, no, I think right now the reason no journalist will touch this is they don't want to lose the life that they have. They don't want to lose the cushy world that they have, right? You think about someone here, and not someone who is like local Sheboyganville news, but journalists that are on, you know, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, larger even local stations, you know, Dallas, Fort Worth, Atlanta, Georgia, New York City, LA, Chicago, Seattle. Like, these people are not poorly paid. All right. Their life is pretty good. They all have personal freaking assistants to like be their bitches and fetch them coffee all the time. You know that that's why they have no connection to reality whatsoever. And they say the most god-awful stupid shit. And they expect you to believe it because they really don't know what it's like to be you, but they do a little bit. And it must be, if you're in that position and you haven't done it independently like a podcaster, you know, dare I say like myself or someone way more successful like a Joe Rogan, right? If you haven't done it for yourself and you're not sitting in a position where you go, well, you're not firing me. As long as people like what I'm doing, they're going to keep coming around. It must be terrifying. It must be terrifying. I want you to imagine for a second, you have a job that pays you $350,000 a year. Some of you probably do. Most of you don't. That is way upper income. You get 350 grand a year, but it's more than that. You actually work about 5 hours a day. You have basically a groveling bitch that goes out and does anything you need, picks up your laundry for you, drops off your dry cleaning, gets your coffee. And if it comes back and there's a half ounce too little or too much cream in it, you yell and they go get it for you. You have a wardrobe like that is provided to you. You have people that do all your shit for you, right? You want for nothing. When the plebs lost their jobs and shit, you kept yours. You got pages, you got raises for doing it. And you dare actually do your job a little bit. Not enough to get fired, just a little bit. And your boss calls you in and says, hey, I know that you wanted to talk about this thing, but yeah, you need to not do that. Because if you do it again or you do it anymore, you do anything without having it approved first at all, like even in your own time, all this goes away. And by the way, no one will have you. No one will have you. Do you know how quickly they can black? And they do the same thing to actors and actresses, right? Like, not only will you know, blah, 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 WBA, FIA, 3ZY, QDQ, Atlanta, kick your anchor ass out in the street, Bill. We'll make sure no one else will ever. This life is gone. This life is gone. In a way, it kind of mimics my theory on some levels of how to discipline children. I like to give kids all kinds of shit. You get a tablet, right? You get a video game system. You get a basketball. You get all the stuff. Because it's real easy to go, and now because we didn't do what we're supposed to do, Johnny, we're going to turn it off. That's one thing in raising a child. It's another thing in trying to control a population. But as you'll see soon, there are people in that elite group that believe we need to be forced to cooperate with them. We'll get there eventually. But yeah, there's really, I don't want to go too deep into this because I don't want this video taken down by ScrewTube, but a reduction in life expectancy of 37%. And that's based on your current age and your age expectancy. So that doesn't mean that, you know, if you thought you're going to live 100 years and you're zero, you go to 37 because there's really no way to forecast that. But they were basing it on like average life expectancy of a person in this level of health that's 50. And then where that would end, and then 37% less than that. You do the math for yourself. I'm not even saying it's true. I'm just saying that maybe we should cover the study that says it's true and pick it apart and see if it is, instead of just saying it's a right-wing conspiracy theory when it's literally published in a peer-reviewed medical journal. Like, that's why wouldn't they tell you that? You know, if it's true, here's the other side of this. Some of these stories, like this one, if it's true, the journalist that picks it up, runs with it, covers it, proves that it's true, you know, if they don't get fired, they're looking at like a Pulitzer. Right? I mean, come on. That would be one of the biggest stories in history. We're not interested in it. Let's move on. Like I said, there are people who feel that you really need to, you need to be forced into cooperation. Now, before I show you this statement by Klaus Schwab from the WEF, I want to state something, first of all. You cannot force a person into cooperation. I hope everybody immediately picks up on why that's true. You can't force a person into cooperation. You can force a person into compliance. You can force a person into submission. You cannot force a person into cooperation. When you use force on somebody, it's no longer cooperation. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? That if you force somebody to do thing, they did not cooperate. Cooperate is a voluntary act where you and I both agree that this thing is worthy of happening, and I can get this to do go, and we work together, and we get the result we're looking for. That's cooperation. Apparently, that is not what the Bond villain, Klaus Schwab, believes cooperation to be, because I will let him speak to you in his own words right now. And I promise you, this is not a cheap fake nor a deep fake. And I will tell you that Mr. Schwab is not embarrassed by this at all.
At the same time, we are witnessing rapid technological advances with many opportunities. And with artificial intelligence rapidly transforming our production and our lives. And breakthroughs from the fourth industrial revolution provide new opportunities for global prosperity and growth. All those factors will have a profound impact on the future of humanity, provided we are able to work together. To drive future economic growth, we must embrace innovation and foster collaboration across sectors, regions, nations, and cultures to create a more peaceful, inclusive, sustainable, and resilient future. At this critical juncture, the active participation of all stakeholders is essential to ensure a sustainable development path. I'm delighted that close to 2,000 leaders from multiple sectors representing some 80 countries and regions have come to Dalian for this year's meeting.
He's delighted that all of the stakeholders are there to force your cooperation and your collaboration with the global elites. My response to this is Klaus can shove it up his ass. Klaus can do things vile to himself with a rusted box style cheese grater for all I am concerned about his opinion here. If you're watching this video, either live or as a rebroadcast after it's done, I find the images in that building a bit chilling. I find it ridiculous that this is like a cast. When I say he's a Bond villain, like I'm talking about obviously that stupid suit that he wore the one time and all, and he looks like a freaking, like a comical, like 1970s era Bond villain. He really does. But what I see there looks like a bunch of Nazis getting together, and it's not just the accent, to figure out how to control the fucking world, and everybody's okay with it. Everybody's okay. These people are literally blatantly in the open plotting to completely take over the earth. Like, that's not a conspiracy. Like, listen to what they say and believe them when they tell you who they are. These guys have their fingers in everything, and they're not directly using government. Their primary means of getting things done in order of how they do it, it begins with corporations, and then it goes to NGOs, non-governmental organizations, and then it goes to government. Government is the third tier in this three-tier attack that these people are inflicting on the world. And this is what they believe. there are too many people for the planet to be healthy, when the reality is we are in desperate need of more people. We are in population declines everywhere. Elon Musk is right about that. Population is declining in China at this point. And here's the thing, like China and India, both are beginning to have population declines. They are not at replacement anymore. And so people say, well, they have a lot of people. Yeah, but their crash will be much faster or much heavier, I would say. Like, so what is a 10% reduction in a country with 350 million people? 10% of 350 million is 35 million less people. What's 10% reduction in a country with 2 billion people? You see what I'm saying? And the number, by the way, is way bigger than that we can expect over like the next 50 years. Now, some of us, I probably won't make another 50 years. I probably won't see it come to full fruition. But my son will, my grandkids will, God willing. And we are just, I know that's hard to believe. And the reason it's hard to believe is because you've been conditioned your whole life to believe there's too many people in the world. But if you look around, we're not hurting for space, are we? I mean, I think one of the things you can do to cleanse your mind is take a drive across the country. And I don't care, I really don't even care what country you're in. Because when you're in a place like I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, and there's like 6 million people that live in roughly two counties. It's like, it's really like four counties, but it's pieces of two and the whole of two, right? And there's 6 million people that live in that area. And you think, oh my God, look, but even in the inside the Metroplex, there's still plenty of open spaces. But drive 30 minutes out of any major city to the next major city, and 90% of what you drive by is nothing. And that's in the United States, which is a very developed country. We are not hurting for space. We can, and all that has happened over like for the last 70 years, we've been given this new Malthusianism. So Malthus was like the first published author that really basically said, and this was around the 1600s, I believe, that the human population was going to crash, right? That we were going to get to a point where we couldn't feed ourselves and everything would just be train wrecked. And we've had policies built on this for centuries now. And we're addicted to Malthusianism at this point. But all that's happened in the world for the last 50 years is people are living longer, better fed, and they have more money and stuff. Like, we literally have had more prosperity in the last 50 years than the 500 years that preceded it. A lot of that is technology, but who develops technology? There's about 1% of people who really develop the next level of technology. So the smaller population you have, the smaller number of those innovators you're going to come up with. But these people, they want to reduce the population of the world by at least half. At least half. They've built social programs that are predicated on continuous growth of population. And at the same time, why? Because they know it doesn't matter. They don't give a shit about you or me. And the fact that we have those people sitting in that audience nodding their heads, and some of them look very calculating, very sadistic people, about this idea of forcing you to cooperate with them. Now, here's my question. Do you believe that they want anything that you want for the world? Do you really? Now, there's about half the population on the surface they do, because they want to stop oil. They think the world is going to drown. The oceans are boiling and whatever other scaremongering bullshit is put in their heads. But they've not rationally thought it through. We know this. None of them can actually answer any technical questions whatsoever. They want to tell you we can do everything with solar and wind, but they do not know what attenuation is. Right? They don't know what impedance is. They don't understand anything about power transmission, but they want to lecture you on where your electricity should come from. They have no idea how big the hole is made by a giant diesel-powered machine. By the way, the hole's big enough to put like 50 skyscrapers in it and not even begin to fill it up. How big that hole is and how much pollution was caused to put batteries in their electric cars. They don't know any of this shit. So they'll go along with this. The problem is you only need about 51, 52% of people to get on board with this shit for them to make real progress with it, and they continue to do so. Kind of bouncing around today, you know, we just heard that the orange man is now a king, even though he's not even in office. But any president now could do anything that they want and get away with it, right? That's the new thing based on the Supreme Court hearing. You know who really gets away with anything they want to get away with in this country? Corporate executives. And I'm talking big-time corporate executives, like the ones that own and run Boeing. So Boeing just pled guilty to fraud and conspiracy in federal court. Fraud and conspiracy. And they could have faced a fine up to $487 million. They ended up getting a fine of like $220 million. So about half of the maximum. They're going to write a check for $200 million. And the fact that people died, property was damaged, stockholders were defrauded, right? I mean, think of all the people holding Boeing stock based on this incredible safety record that they flaunt, when they were literally committing conspiracy to hide the fuck-ups they made that caused Boeing to become Boeing, right? Boing, boing, boing. That's the sound the plane makes now as it crashes into the ground or drops shit out of the air. And for those who don't know, let me tell you what's wrong with these Boeing aircraft, these 737 Maxes. They made the plane bigger and tried to use the same tech to control the plane's ability to change altitude, including the autopilot stuff in it that says, hey, this is happening, do this correction. And the plane is unbalanced for that technology, and they never figured out how to solve the problem, and they just went ahead with it, and they knew it when they did it. That's what's happened. That's why these planes have dropped thousands of feet out of the air, even if they don't crash. People get, like, slammed up against, like, out of nowhere this shit happens. The pilots, like, it's not the pilot's fault. The pilots get no warning that this is about to happen. The plane, everything seems okay, and the plane is automatically correcting for a problem that isn't as bad as the correction. And these people knew this, and they are going to get away. And you say, well, $200 million, Jack, that is a lot of money. Not if you're Boeing, it's not. Remember, they can borrow unlimited money in the Ponzi scheme fractional reserve system. By the way, we're probably going to do a show soon, not tomorrow or Wednesday or this week, because those are all planned already. But I'm going to do a show called the fractional slavery system. And I don't just mean that because you pay taxes, you're a fractional slave. I'm talking about the financial system. The financial system is built on slavery, right? In that the way we print money is to pledge the labor of your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren in order to incur that debt. So we're going to dig into that. But they get that money too. This is part of the Cantillon effect. The closer you are to the money spigot, the cheaper the money is. This will cost them nothing. What do they get? Add one plane to a contract or one component to a contract and the government covers it? Who are they paying the money to? The people that regulate them. It's regulatory capture all over again. The people that get away with everything, you think it's politicians, and they get away with a lot. But the people that really get away with everything, I mean, like, if you had something to do with this as a private citizen, they would bury you under a supermax prison. They say you cost people lives, you cost people fortunes. You've done unbelievable damage to national defense, honestly. Boeing, because of the way we run things with our military-industrial complex, is actually critical to national defense, and not just strategically from a standpoint of like the weapons systems that they're involved with or the space program things they're involved with. Being able to move materials and people is critical to civil defense. This is disgusting. But, hey, they're going to pay a fine. Everything goes away. Now, the guy that's supposed to be in charge of everything, you know, Biden, this is sad to me. These are some cards that are like White House cards that are an example of what's given to Biden to get him ready for an event. And what these two are pictures, like coming from the, for the, those that don't see the video, coming from the back stage area out to the podium, and it literally says, walk to podium on the placard card, right? They are literally scripting every movement, and they are providing him with like flashcards to get him through it. What to say, when to say it, when to stand up, when to sit down. A level of prep that goes so far over. I will say this, and this article is pretty even-handed about it. every big time political person, when they do these speeches, when they do these talks, when they have these events, there is the staff does a ton in pre-gaming it and making sure that he's in the right place at the right time. If you're meeting an ambassador from another country where, let's say, shaking hands is offensive, and make sure that you know that, because I don't care who you are. This is not about Biden or Trump, right? Like, there is nobody that knows the proper etiquette for every dignitary from every country in the world. Like, I understand some of this. Needing a piece of paper to tell you you're the president so you stop saying you're the vice president. Needing a picture to show you how to approach and how to leave a podium. And then you still get it wrong. This man is not mentally fit. He's not mentally fit. I know you knew that already, but this is another one. Like, Axios is the source on this. My God, the president of the United States is being handed cards to show him how to get to the podium and how to get back from the podium. A man who's been in politics for half a century. Say what you want, but one of the most experienced politicians we have, just on time. And this is why, to me, this is a bigger story than it would normally be. This is while, okay, this is while the main headline story has been, since the debate, the man's mental decline, right? Everybody, like MSNBC, CNN, Fox, OLN, everybody's talking about Biden's mental decline. You get literal, this, if you go read the article for yourself, literal inside this, like, insider sources that work on the team saying, I have no idea why we have to do this level of prep. Did it for other people. Never had to do. No one touches it except Axios. Like, even when I knew this was a story, it was actually hard to find this, and specifically to find it with the pictures being displayed so that you could see what it looks like. This is not new. We had, you know, a couple years ago, they were passing him notes, telling him he had something on his face because he didn't know it. Like, literally, we've seen placards that tell him, here's how to get through, like, a 15-minute appearance. But, my God, this is what the podium looks like? What? This is worse than even I ever believed it could be. But, you know, maybe it's because of his education. And I mean all of our educations, because the teachers of the country are who educates their kids. And we all know they are heroes who do not wear capes. And one of the most powerful voices in the country for teachers and for their goals and what they're trying to do is the NEA. It's the largest, or the National Education Association is the largest teachers union in the country. Becky Pringle is their president. This is a woman who pocketed $500,000 while she was helping keep schools closed during COVID. Okay. And I mean, not the NEA. She personally profited $500,000 while she was doing that work and getting it done. Well, here she is doing a speech, and it's only 50 seconds long, and I almost feel bad for what I'm about to do to you. I feel like some of you are going to email me very angrily and say that your brain didn't work for like an hour after listening to this, or your IQ went down 5 points. I'm sorry. If I explain what this woman says, I'll put it this way. When I was a young man in the Army, going through basic training, and I don't know what they do in other branches of service. I know the Marine Corps does what I'm about to say. I don't know if like the Air Force or Navy does. But you get NBC, nuclear, biological, chemical training. And part of that is you put a gas mask on and you go into a gas chamber with tear gas. And the drill sergeants are in there with their masks on and they got the tear gas and you put these tablets in a can and it sucks, right? But you're in there in your mask and you can breathe just fine. And then they have you break the seal on your mask and then clear your mask. And you might get a little bit of a tingle, but you're still fine. And then they make you take your mask off. And when you're going through basic, you know, you get drill sergeants screaming at you all the time and stuff, but good drill sergeants also take that time where they're more counselor-like. They talk to you like a normal person. And a lot of times at that point in your training, you're going back and forth to places like in buses, because even though they love to march you, there's places you have to go on base that they need for time expediency to get you there. And a lot of times when they're sitting on that basically modified school bus with you is when you get that discussion. So we had just been through the gas chamber shit. We're still snotty, burning on your neck where your chain was and all. And I remember Drill Sergeant Irby was talking to us about it. And I asked him, I said, but Drill Sergeant, why do we have to actually take the mask off like we did? Like, is it just hazing or like what? He said, listen, man, if you didn't experience it, if all we had you do was go in there with that mask on, it would never give you the confidence and the equipment that you need to have, because you would never have known how bad it was. You would never have believed that it was as bad as it was when you actually experienced it. But when you stood in there for a good 5 minutes with us talking to you, making you do jumping jacks and all that shit, and literally nothing happened to you, and when you take that mask off and we make you take a breath, and all you want is get the hell out of there, you go into panic mode, and everything hurts, and you feel like even though you can breathe, you feel like you can't, and your eyes are watered, you can't see, snot is coming out of your mouth and your nose. Like, at that point, you believe how bad it is. And then you have confidence in your equipment. That's kind of what I'm going to do here. I'm going to play this woman, because if I explain it, then you're not going to believe that it's as bad as it is. But what I want to point out before I play this is an old meme. It's a GIF, and it's a looks to me like kind of a wokey woman, maybe. I don't want to assume her pronouns, but I'm going to. And she's shrieking all the things. Okay. Last year, during Pride Month, they literally did the meme with Lockheed and the gay stuff and all. This woman here, Becky Pringle, is about to do the meme.
NEA delegates, we can do this work. We must do this work. We get to do this work. We will do this work because our students are depending on us to win all the things. NEA, we have to win all the things. All the things. All the things. Our colleagues are depending on us to win all the things. Keep going, NEA. To preserve our democracy, we must win all the things. Delegates, we won't go back. We will keep going forward because we are the NEA. We are the NEA. We are the NEA. And that's what we do.
What in the hell did we just listen to? I mean, seriously, this is the woman who speaks for teachers in America. This is the woman who has more impact on setting educational policy than most politicians ever will. This is who is speaking on behalf of the teachers that you entrust to educate your children. This is the woman who made damn sure that your kids stayed out of school during the COVIDs, long after we knew we didn't need to do that anymore. This is a woman who is, now I'm going to say personally responsible, but largely as a group of others, responsible for the fact that the educational levels in our children have been set back well over a year in regression in math skills, reading school skills, socialization ability, everything. But she wants to win all the things. All the things. All the things. I told you. Right? I said, don't trust Verify. But I think on this one, you can trust me. If I didn't play that for you, you would never have believed it was that unhinged of a senseless rant. I bet you, those of you that hadn't already heard it, when I was getting ready to hit play, you're like, ah, Jack, it can't be that bad. And when I played it, you're like, holy shit. What is going on? This is what happens in our society. What you just saw is Jerry Pournelle's iron law of bureaucracy in action. What you saw is a person more dedicated to the organization than the mission. So she knows nothing about the mission. What you just saw is a person with ambition who wanted control for the sake of control, who wanted control for the sake of the wealth, because I guarantee you she's not hurting for money. She damn sure ain't hurting for Twinkies and Ho-Hos from what I can see. That's who's in charge of setting agendas in the education system that you're trusting to educate your children. Now, while that was going on, somebody posted this. Tommy D posted this. If Jack can homeschool his grandkids, we figured we could do the same. It feels really good. I know it can be hard to get your kids out of that system. That's who's setting policy and agenda for the education of your children. I don't know what else I could show you to make you want to get your kids out of the school system any more than that. All the things. I'm telling you, the memes are coming to life. That meme is a good 5-6 years old. All the things, all the things. Literally is doing the meme. Literally doing the meme. Maybe the memers are just ahead of us all. I don't know. Next up, this should be, in my opinion, a big story. A huge story. But there's a problem with it. It might change people's view of the narrative. So if you think of Iran, you probably think of chants like death to America in the streets. And I'm not going to say there's not people in Iran that don't feel that way. I'm not going to say that it's not a screwed up country. I'm not going to defend a lot of things that Iran has done over the years. I'm not going to say that they don't educate their people to hate us. But they did something recently. There was an election. Their president was killed. I don't think murdered. I think it was a legitimate accident. He could have been killed. Who knows? And so they had to have elections really, really fast because they had no president. And they ended up with this dude, and I'm probably going to say his name wrong, Masoud Pezeshkian, who has been elected. He's a doctor, but he's also a member of the Reformist Party. And the basic platform of the Reformist Party is, you know, pissing off the West and the United States and chanting shit in the streets and being hostile toward them and doing all the things that we've been doing doesn't really benefit us. We don't do well. Our unemployment's through the roof. The quality of life for the majority of people in our country is not good. Maybe if we stopped doing that shit and we started at least attempting to be a modern nation, like if we stopped throwing women in prison or beating them for not wearing a headscarf, and we stopped screaming that we want to kill everybody, and we stopped supporting our side of the proxy wars, and we said to the West, we actually want to cooperate and be part, maybe things would be better for our country. Well, that would seem like a damn good thing for the United States. That would seem like, you know, maybe the United States should have been behind getting this to happen all the time. Instead, we had an election where we started out with 5 candidates in Iran. 5. 4 hardliners, 1 reformist. Right before the first election, 2 of the 4 hardliners dropped out of the election, realizing that the Reform Party would probably win if they split the vote that hard. Well, Iran, it wouldn't have happened because all it would have done is made what happened more the case. But they knew they weren't going to win, so they figured it would shorten the timeline of this, and it would show party unity. In Iran, in these presidential elections, you have to get at least 50.1% of the vote. You have to get one more vote than 50%. So when you have a 3-way race and it splits and nobody gets over 50, you take the top 2 candidates and have a runoff election. We do that in some states in the United States and things like that as well. And so they did that. And so that was another opportunity to cover this story. I've been following this since it all started. And I really didn't think that the reformists had a chance at winning. And when I looked at the numbers in the 3-way race, if you took the 2 hardliners and put their numbers together, okay, they were over 50. So I figured if you were going to vote, it would be like you have an election, and let's say you had Trump, Biden, and Hillary Clinton were all running. And Hillary Clinton and Biden, when you combine their stuff, got like 65% of the vote. Well, you'd think in the runoff, let's say Clinton beat Biden, she would right now, so we'll just go that way. So then you down to Clinton and Orange Man, you think, well, Orange Man doesn't stand a chance. That's what happened there. But it did. There's another story in this. The mullahs are actually pissed. This proves I'm right, in my opinion. It proves I'm right, in my opinion. I'm going to give it an opinion here. That it's important to them that you vote no matter who wins. What they're pissed about is the turnout for this election was dog shit. It was the lowest turnout that they've had since the revolution in the 70s when Jimmy Pinot was our president and they took our hostages. The lowest turnout. Why would they be upset about that? They weren't upset about it just because this guy won. They were upset about it before the election even happened. They could already see the participation was going to be dog shit. They were, the Ayatollahs were out shrieking, you need to vote, it's your duty to Allah and shit like that. And people didn't vote. Well, why do countries get upset when that happens? Because it reduces legitimacy in government. That's part of why I don't vote. I don't think my individual act of not voting actually does much for that. But it's, to me, it's the moral choice that I make. If I don't want A or B, I'm not voting for A because I hate B more. And I do believe that when that trend continues, it does delegitimize government. In other words, there will come a day when the number of people who vote is so small that it's so outweighed by the number of people that don't vote, you realize that the government is completely illegitimate. Like something like 80-20 would do that, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? And I know what people are going to say, but then the other side just runs all over things. First of all, who's the other side in this false dichotomy? And second of all, if you have a big enough sample, you still get the same result anyway. But I find it interesting that you have someone here who is literally saying, let's offer the West, which is code for the United States and all of its surrogates, an olive branch, from a country that is pretty much the top state sponsor of terrorism in the world. They are. They legitimately are. A country who is diametrically opposed to who we say is our ally in Israel. And that's not me taking a side. That's the country's position. I'm laying out why this should be front page of CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News. And it's not. You have to dig to find this story. It, all three of them covered. It's just like 97 pages deep on their site. You have to know to look for it. This is a huge thing. This is something I never thought would happen. I said when this came up, and they ran some stories about it. Could it change things? I'm like, no. And I don't know that it'll change things, but at least you have their chief executive now is somebody who's willing to discuss change. Why wouldn't they want you to know that? Because you're supposed to hate them. See, everything that they do is predicated on the idea that they've funneled you into a choice. And there's certain choices that are not binary. They're 100%. We need you to choose the other way. You have to believe everything we say about this disease that we caused. You have to hate Iran. You have to hate Russia. They really don't know what to do about freaking Israel and Hamas. They're really not like that's a glitch in the matrix situation. But this should be big news, don't you think? If you start asking people to list countries that the United States needs to see as a threat, you're probably going to get Russia and China. By the way, it should probably start with China and Russia. And then after that, North Korea and Iran. That's probably your big four that they want you to most be concerned with. So why would they cover it? You might actually start asking some questions like, well, how do we have a better... No, you're not supposed to ask about how we have a better relationship with Iran. You leave that to, comma, experts say. Yeah. But it keeps going. You know, we don't want to de-escalate anything because then we might screw up all the grifting that's going on. Because I shit you not, what does Ukraine want now from us? We've given them $175 billion, the U.S. alone. The EU has chipped in about $100 billion plus. So $275 billion, almost $300 billion in aid has gone to this country. While people in our country sleep in the streets, it's not enough. The Ukrainians now want submarines. But don't worry, they don't want big submarines, whatever the fuck that means. So I checked. Now, what they don't want are like little two-man micro submarines. They want legitimate submarines with like torpedoes that can sink major Russian battleships and shit like that. The cheapest military submarines that are still seaworthy are older diesel-powered submarines that cost about $500 million if you were to produce a new one today, and we're not really making them anymore. Most of the ones that are still in service need a lot of work because we're not really making them anymore. When we move into not necessarily submarines that are going to launch nuclear missiles, because that's a function of whether you put them on there or not, almost anything can launch a nuclear weapon. We have small enough nuclear weapons that almost, you know, you can put a tactical nuke on the back of a 5-ton truck and launch it off of there if you really wanted to. Pretty small one, but you can do it. So we're not saying, when I say nuclear, I just mean nuclear power plant. And guys, you pretty much have to be into the world of nuclear submarines to deploy them against Russia. I know there was that movie with Kelsey Grammer in it where they gave him a diesel sub and he took on the U.S. nuclear state-of-the-art sub and he won the war game and all, but it's bullshit. That's why The Simpsons made a joke out of it, because it was down periscope. That's what it was called, right? Like, it was a joke. It's not a real thing. If you're out in the ocean with a diesel-powered sub that's three generations old now and you're being sought with countermeasures by the Russians, it's not going to work. So I'm just saying, for this to be valid, if you're actually going to do it, you got to move into the world of nuclear subs. And you're looking between $1 and $2 billion at the bottom end per sub. Oh, and they don't want a sub. They want a fleet. And they want us to pay for a fleet of submarines and give them to patrol the Black Sea with. Holy shit. First of all, on its face, will the grifting never end? You know that about 20% of the money that's been given to Ukraine has not had a fucking thing directly to do with the war. We're literally paying the salaries of government employees and their fucking pensions, the ones that are retired. You're paying for people in Ukraine to be retired bureaucrats. Okay? So the money alone is stupid, and the grift alone is stupid. And after so much has been given to be like, oh, we need some subs now. Oh, my God. When will it end? But I'm not done yet. Okay, let's say that, I don't know, we're stupid enough that we're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to give you 6 submarines. So you have a fleet of not like the latest gen stuff, like smaller boats, a couple generations old, $1 billion a piece is what it's going to cost us. Okay, how do you run a nuclear-powered submarine? You have to have a crew. The crew has to be highly trained and highly disciplined. Like, if you want to see difficulty getting a job in the Navy, go to a recruiting office and say this is what you want to do. You don't just want to be some person who does random shit who happens to end up on a sub. You want the skill set that puts you as a key person on a nuclear submarine. The test you have to pass alone to determine that you're not too stupid to do it is like the scores you have to get are some of the highest of any job that you would get in the Navy on, like the ASVAB test and stuff like that. Okay? And they have a huge washout rate. I don't know what it is today, but like when I joined the military, I looked at all branches, and the Navy, I only looked at for like highly technical things like that. And it was something like a 60% washout rate of people that go into those programs don't even make it through. Okay, so now how are you going to train enough Ukrainians to run a fucking fleet of these submarines? Fuck, even if they were the older diesel ones, the training actually might be harder in some ways because they're gonna you have to maintain them, right? You have to maintain them. You have to work on them. You have to be able to resupply. Like, this is not something you can just, like, it's not like giving somebody, like, a case of rifles and a case of ammunition. Like, you can do that. You just drop that off out of a helicopter and say, figure it out with a technical manual, right? Here's how to clean. Here's how to maintain. Here's how to adjust sights. Boom. Here's a technical manual that goes with this case of M4s. And some EOTech sites, right? And here's a couple crates of ammunition. Good luck, guys. You can do that. You're going to – that's – the F-16 thing alone is fanciful. These Ukrainian pilots to get in these F-16s, they're going to get taken out almost immediately when those things are finally deployed. They probably will never get deployed. They're probably going to stay in an air base, right? Or they're going to get – somehow they're going to trick NATO pilots, U.S. pilots into flying these missions for them. They've already done this. They asked for the F-16s. And then when we're like, so like the U.S. leverages certain European partners. They have some older planes that have had some upgrades. Like, I'll tell you what, you give them to them and we'll get you new planes, right? So immediately Zelensky's like, could we keep the planes in somebody else's country? So, like, we'll fly them and all and we'll use them. But when they land and they where they take off from, could it be a different country than ours? Because inside Ukraine, obviously, Russia, if they know where they are, they're just going to take them out. We're like, no, but now you want submarines? Holy shit. I'm telling you, you guys that have resisted me on this, we have to stand with Ukraine. Ukraine is our only democratic partner over there. Whatever. It's not a democracy, but if anything would wake you up, we want submarines. Now let's think about the tactical reason for this being stupid. So you're going to take poorly trained, because they're going to be poorly trained, because they're not going to be as good as our guys, people. You're going to give them submarines, and they're going to hunt Russian vessels in the Black Sea. Read the article. Literally the stated reason for it. You think they might accidentally sink the wrong ship? You think they might sink like a ship full of civilians, not even transporting much material, like basically a cruise ship or something like that? Do you think they might sink a major Russian battleship and that might not piss off the Russians more than you can imagine? You don't think you can unleash hell from something like this? But they ask with a straight face. And we have people. I'm going to tell you right now, I know this sounds fanciful. I predict within a couple weeks, you are going to hear about this on mainstream media and not the way I'm covering with how ridiculous it is. You're going to start hearing senators say we need to give them submarines so that they can win the war in Ukraine by sinking ships in the Black Sea. And if you want to talk about provoking the world's largest nuclear power, there isn't really much you could do beyond what you've done. Other than, like, literally a direct strike by the United States on Russia. Like, that would be the last piece of middle ground. And you're literally risking World War III at that point. But your media doesn't think you need to hear about this. Next up, let's hear from Bill Gates. Bill Gates says we have to stop cows from farting. He's got a drug they're working on in Australia. You know, Gates Foundation, more money for him that you can, like, basically an anti-fart pill for cows. And they can make laboratory meat, and, you know, one or the other will work out in the end. Here you go.
Hearing that the opportunities exceed the things you have to give up. You have to give up a large part of the, and eventually almost all of the coal mining activity. You know, what happens with beef, my climate group, Breakthrough Energy, just announced literally today, an investment in an Australian group called Ruminate that helps cows not be so much a source of methane emissions. So we have two paths to solving that. That's 6% of global emissions are cows who burp and fart methane to an extreme degree. You can either fix the cows to stop them doing that, or you can make beef without the cow. And both of those, you know, will be pursued to see which one can lead to the best product in terms of taste, health, and cost. Here in the
they're going to look for the product that has the best taste, health, and cost. I think what he really means is the one that people will be stupid enough to embrace that will make him the most money. That's what I think it means. So you got Bill Gates saying we need to stop cows from farting with essentially a drug, an anti-fart pill for cows. Does anybody trust the beef that comes from the cow that's been given this drug? What the fuck do we need to worry about this for? We don't need to worry about this at all. Now, I would tell you that the amount of emissions that come from cattle, they keep saying fart is where the methane comes from. But what they're doing is they're not getting this number based on the vast majority of the cow's lifetime. I think there's a lot of people that think that most of the beef that we buy in the store is CAFO beef. You're right about that. But they have this vision of like this little cow being born and he goes straight into a feed chute and they feed him grain his whole cow life until he's big enough to graduate Bovine University and become a star player on your plate. That's not even the most commercial beef out there is seldom fed grain, except in shortages where ranchers will do it because they can't get enough hay and they don't have enough grass due to drought or whatever. Most cattle spend the vast majority of their time eating grass. The amount of farting that they really do and methane that they really produce isn't really a hill of beans in global emissions of methane. Right. And when he says there's 6% of global emissions, he ain't talking about CO. He's only talking methane. That's where that number comes from. I've checked. You should check, too, if you don't believe me, because always verify. But what they're doing is the total life cycle of that cow. So that cow will spend 6 to 8 weeks at the end of its life in the most miserable conditions it will experience from the time it's born until it dies at a CAFO. When that cow goes to a CAFO, they're going to feed it grain and mostly corn. This already is going to create more flatulence. When you think about it this way, when do people fart the most? When you eat things that are not right for your digestive system. That creates gas, right? If you eat things that you are supposed to eat, you fart less. You eat things that cause you distress, you fart more. Well, a cow is not supposed to eat corn and wheat and soy. Bovines in the wild don't eat any of that shit. I talked about this with Ken last week. If you have a field and it's full of, let's say, oats or rye or wheat, and it's grown to the point where it has seed heads on it, that cow has to be starving and nothing else to eat before it will eat anything in there. It doesn't want that. But if you let that cow in there before the seed heads are formed, they'll go to town on it because it's a grass and that's what they want to eat. So when we feed them grain, they're eating what they are not biologically evolved to eat. They can, puts a lot of fat on them, it works, but it's going to make them fart more. But that's still not where most of the methane comes from. You guys that know how this works should know where the methane comes from. What happens when you have CAFOs, and I've seen some of them like out by Lubbock, and it's literally, you can see to the horizon, it's nothing but cows slowly moving closer and closer to the graduation stage and just being stuffed with grain all the way in. They're standing up to their armpits and shit, and eventually they have to push that shit somewhere. They push the shit into basically huge lagoons to break down like a giant leach field, and it rots in a big sloppy mess, a big wet sloppy mess. The methane that's being produced by cattle in the world today is not the cow out in the field eating the grass farting. It's the freaking septic sludge pits that's coming from the CAFOs that number comes from. They factor what's the total methane emission from the time the cow drops till he's chopped, including that 6 to 8 weeks at the end. When a cow drops a turd in the middle of a field, very little methane is ever going to be released. It is fertilizer. It makes the planet healthier. It grows more grass. things like dung beetles, roll it up in little balls and bury it. Worms and shit, eat it. But what happens when you create a cesspool? Well, you get all kinds of methane. So they're lying about lying at this point. They're not even just lying. They're lying about lying about lying. And this is the problem with lying, right? We learn this through fables and fairy tales and shit when we're kids, like Pinocchio. The more you lie, the worse it gets, and the more you have to lie to keep the lie going. That's where they're at. Because we know it's bullshit. Should we get some helicopters and some M60 machine guns and go flying around Africa and like start mowing down Cape Buffalo and wildebeest and gazelles and shit and get rid of them all? Well, Jack, that's crazy. Well, they're doing the same thing. They eat grass and they shit and they fart and they burp. Don't act like a cow is vastly different than a buffalo from a biological standpoint of how it processes its food. Dude, these are all ruminants. They're all grass-fed animals that eat a lot of grass and shit on the ground. But they don't have cesspools, do they? The most environmentally healthy and greatest producers of biomass systems on the planet, if we stay out of the marine world, because if we're going to go like where the marine world meets the terrestrial world, it would be mangrove swamps, right? But if we get out of marine, it is savanna ecosystems. Savanna ecosystems, fields and trees together with grazing animals. The amount of biomass that they produce more than compensates for all the so-called emissions. This guy, we got to get rid of him. I don't know how, but he's got to go. And I don't mean like, even though I wouldn't sob or anything. I just like, we have to figure out how to reach people to where they stop listening to shit like this. This is the last man you should listen to about anything. I mean, he made his fortune because his family was already rich. He had the inside track and he stole the technology and made it worse and called it Windows. But that's at least the one productive thing that the guy's responsible for. Everything else he's done is just a disgrace. The man has C-cup moobs, and he wants to tell you about what to eat. I'm going to say this again. If you have C-cups as a man, and you're going to tell me how to eat, I'm probably not. Listen, what upsets me with this is that people buy into it at all. Did anybody would listen to this clown about anything? Medicine, I don't care what you're – don't listen to this man about shit. I got more for you. This is something that maybe we should cover. I don't know if the media will ever cover this. Viktor Orban is the leader of Hungary, and he just visited Russia. I'm not sure of this. I have a feeling he actually somehow in that trip was able to get some visibility into the front from behind the lines, but on the Russian side, and see what was going on. What he came back with is it is impossible that Russia would be defeated in Ukraine. Impossible. This is a president of an EU nation and a NATO nation who actually went and met with we should be talking to Putin, right? We should be talking to Zelensky. Yes, but we should be actually Putin and Zelensky should be talking. They're the ones at war. The first thing you want to do if you actually want to end a conflict, if you actually want to resolve a conflict, is what? You get the two people in the conflict in the same room and say, you guys got to start talking to each other. We've gone out of our way to prevent this. We have had no real dialogue with Russia on this at all. Russia bad. Orange man bad, Russia bad, Russia orange man bad. Like, that's the literal media coverage of all this shit. Viktor Orban is leading a country who is one of the most prosperous, in spite of the fact it's one of the smallest in the EU. It's a very clean, very healthy country. They have not allowed their nation to be diluted and destroyed by illegal immigration, so they call him a Nazi. Well, he's like, you know what? I'm going to stop listening to you assholes, and I'm going to go see what's going on. And his conclusion, once he looked at what was going on, is this is a fantasy that you think you're going to destroy Russia through Ukraine, that it's impossible, and it is. And if you don't think it is, and you think Jack's shilling for Putin again or some other stupid shit, I don't care who Putin and Russia are. I am talking tactically. If you think the Ukrainians are anywhere near capable of winning this, you don't understand what's gone on. The Russians, as they've advanced to take over all of the Donbass, have put in a three-layered line of defense. Three lines. The Ukrainians, since that's happened, have not made it past the first one of them, not one time. The victories you're hearing are they have this little village out here that the lines haven't advanced past yet, and Russia sent in some sappers or some shit, and they repelled them for 5 minutes before they took the damn village over anyway. There's nothing there in the first place because everybody's left. When you have a world leader who is very friendly to you, by the way, Orban, despite the fact that they make like he's the next Hitler or some stupid shit because he dare does anything that they don't like. That's a pattern you should see by now. Anybody that does anything that you don't like is extreme right-wing Hitler. Right? I mean, that. When a world leader like that says something like that, even if you don't agree, you should probably at least look at it and consider it and ask the question if he's right. And here's what I would say to anybody that says he's not. Explain to me how this is. Have you noticed this? They tell you Ukraine can win this if we just keep giving them more money and more weapons. How? How? How can they win? What does victory look like? Well, they win. No. Wait a minute. Why don't we look at what are Russia's defensive capabilities in the territory they occupy, and you explain to me how to get them out of there. Isn't that a reasonable question? Let's put it a different way. Let's say you were the leader of a country, okay? And your country had been invaded, and the enemy had entrenched in a three-layered line of defense. And your generals say, hey, just get our friends to get us some more weapons and conscript some more people. I know we lost 500,000 men already that are dead and about another 500,000 who are incapacitated and can't return. So I know we've basically taken 1 million men out of our nation's soldier pool. But just start, raise the draft age, lower the draft age, draft women, draft grandpa, give us more men, give us more weapons, and we can win. Wouldn't you be completely irresponsible as a leader of that country if you didn't say to them, okay, how are we going to win? What weapons do we need? Why do we need them? How will they be employed? What does your plan of attack look like? How do you plan to drive them out? What defensive capabilities do they have? What offensive capabilities do they have? What percentage of their military is actually holding this? What's their reserve capacity that they could bring in? Aren't these all reasonable fucking questions? Then why does the person that asks them get called a tool of Putin? When you cut out a man's tongue, you do not prove him to be a liar. You only show that you're afraid of what he might say. That's all that's going on here. This is why it's amazing to me how many people in my own audience have been blinded by this whole conflict that weren't blinded by COVID. Maybe you were in the very beginning, but you kind of came around pretty quick and realized you were being lied to. Don't you see this the same pattern? Anybody who says anything you don't like, you brand them a tool of Putin, call them a commie, do whatever you want to do. Just basically, they have to be bad. They have to be shut up. They have to be censored. And they have to be written off. And they cannot be debated or engaged. You notice that, like, we have people like Colonel Douglas McGregor, who gave a lot of his life to serving this country, served in the presidential cabinet. Scott Ritter, who gave a lot of his life to this country, that served as a weapons inspector for the UN. Those two men are more informed about this conflict than anybody currently in our government that's forward-facing anyway. You notice something that's common with them and people like Dr. McCullough with COVIDs, nobody or Harvey Reich on the question about hydroxychloroquine? Right? One of the most cited, well thought of researchers, like this dude has been cited more than almost any other living researcher in other researchers' research. But they just write them off when they say something you don't like. But no one will debate them. Wouldn't you like to see someone from our State Department or one of our current high ranking military commanders that says we just need to give Ukraine more weaponry Wouldn't you like to see Colonel Douglas McGregor and that person sit down face to face, not arguing and shouting at each other, simply debating the facts on the ground? Wouldn't that make you more informed? I mean, I would listen to the U.S. general or whatever. I would hear him out. I would say, okay, how would this work? What would this look like? But they won't do it. Because the minute you pull back the Band-Aid that's supposedly over a scratch and see the gangrenous hole in the arm, you know that the arm has to get cut off. Then you start asking, like, well, if we don't cut the arm off now, how long is it before we have to go above the elbow? How long is it before it's full arm? Like, that's bad. And you can't tell me it's not, and I know we can't fix that. That's what Ukraine is right now. It can't be fixed. The plan is eventually it will fail. It will fail, and BlackRock will rebuild what's left. They already know Putin's not leaving. I said the day this started, the best you get out with now is Putin takes the Donbas. It's the best you're going to get. They keep fucking around. I said, the wound is down here. You can take the arm off at the elbow. Keep it up. I'll tell you what's next. They're already doing exactly what I said. They're just advancing to all the areas that there's little slivers here and there on the outer banks, sort of, so to say, that are part of Luhansk and Donetsk and what have you, that have voted to be part of Russia, that are still under Ukrainian control, and they're just taking them whenever they want to now. Keep fucking around. You know what goes next? And it totally fucks Ukraine and landlocks them? Odessa. You don't think they can take Odessa? You don't have a fucking clue. And I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you right now, I'll never let that one go, right? I don't know why. I can't let go of that one. I'm telling you right now, you can believe it or you cannot believe it, but Putin and Russia as a whole have used a lot of restraint in this conflict. If Russia wanted it, Kiev, or Kiev, right? You want to change the name because you think it makes a difference, would be a parking lot already. All with conventional weaponry. All with conventional. Yeah, landlocked nation with a navy. Why do you think they want the subs? So that we have a vested interest in maintaining their access to the sea. That's why. They don't have much of a navy, by the way. They do have a navy, though. I've seen it reported where people have talked about the story we just covered, that the navy, the sub thing, they don't even have a navy, but they do. Now, the next one I got for you is Biden. Biden was in Philadelphia, like I said. He did the interview with the Black I'm a Black Woman podcast lady who got fired for simply saying yes. They sent me questions. Think about, let's revisit that a second. She didn't say it was a setup. She simply said, I interviewed the president. He came on, and I asked him 4 of 8 questions that they submitted to me, and I approved and signed off on those questions before I did the interview. There's no reason to fire that person except, that you're trying to create an illusion here. And she's giving away the magician's trick. A gal that you may or may not heard of, but I love this gal, Riley Gaines. She should be the national college champion swimmer, that jackass dude, that pretends to be a woman that beat everybody. I can't think of his name, and I won't call him a her. I'm not going to contribute to somebody's freaking mental illness here. But Riley is she's the rightful national champion. Because she's the fastest girl swimmer there is or was in college. And she made this post and she said, every time Joe Biden says, quote, not a joke, end quote, brace yourself for the most nonsensical story imaginable. Now you see why I like her. I want to play this for you. This is Joe Biden in Philadelphia. And I'll let it go from there.
But look, even when I was running for Senate, each time I ran, quite frankly, not a joke, Philadelphia in particular, got me across the line. No, I'm not joking. Seriously, organizationally and in terms of fundraising, the whole deal. But look, here's the deal. This election is going to be about block and tackling, simple, basic politics. Simple. It's going to be a matter of how many signs we get out, how many doors we knock on, how many calls we make, and how many requests we answer.
All right. So Tom said the audio was low on that. That's maxed out. That's what there is on that clip. I had the player maxed out and my machine maxed out. Those of you listening to the audio-only version, I'm sure that my equalizer will fix it. I'll give you the gist of it if you had trouble with the video there. He said, when I was running for the Senate, it was Philadelphia that got me across the line with organization and support. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Joe Biden was in the Senate for 40 freaking years. 40 years as a senator for the state of Delaware. For all his talk about being from Scranton and Pennsylvania and middle class and blue collar, he spent his time in the Senate, 100% of his time in the Senate, as a senator from the state of Delaware. Okay. I know that we are not the most gifted country in the world when it comes to our knowledge of geography, that many other countries have students in high school that will destroy our students in answering questions about probably U.S. geography. But I do believe that most people are aware of the fact that Philadelphia is in Pennsylvania. It's pretty close to Delaware, but nobody in Pennsylvania gets to vote for who is senator in Delaware. And they have their own shit to worry about, like their own senators, their own governors, their own House of Representative members. And this is a pattern with Biden. Everything is about him, and everything has a hook to him, and every place he goes, he's one of them. Have you noticed that? That's why he went to a Puerto Rican church and said he was raised in Puerto Rican churches. He went to a black church and said he was raised in black churches. So which one is it, Joe? By the way, he did grow up in Scranton. You know what? Not a lot of black churches or Puerto Rican churches, for matter, in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And I'm going to tell you, way, 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 way back, right after the Civil War ended when Biden was a kid, that's a little exaggeration there, but when Biden was young enough to be growing up, you weren't going to find a black church in Scranton, Pennsylvania. That's not like a racist thing or saying people, there's just wasn't a lot of black people in Scranton. Like none. I'm sorry. It just, there weren't. Go look up the demographic data. But the guy does this everywhere he goes. And Riley got it right. The minute that guy says, not a joke, it's not a joke. When he goes into that weird, like he's going to whisper shit, it's not a joke. Guess what? They're like that creepy thing. Like he's always about to say something really, really freaking stupid. I'll also say something that I want to say about the whole Biden fiasco. I did a show last week on Monday where I talked about the whole flubbed up debate. And I said they're not going to replace him with Gavin Newsom or Big Mike or whatever. I said the only winning play they had they'll never do, and that's RFK. Because RFK, if it's a binary choice, RFK and Trump, I really believe RFK wins. That's not, I think we should vote for RFK. I'm not saying that. I don't like a lot of things about Robert Kennedy. There's a lot I do like. I think he'd be a great, put him on the cabinet, let him oversee Health and Human Services and fix that mess. He'd be really good at that, right? Or put him somewhere over the environment, but tell him he's not allowed to talk about carbon. He's not allowed to talk about CO2, like tight leash, like I'll jerk your ass out, Bobby. Go fix all the other shit with the environment. Really good at that too. And there's a few other places he could be useful on the right leash. But I think if you give America a binary choice, RFK versus Trump, given all the baggage Trump comes with, Trump will lose. Democrats will never do it. Gavin Newsom, non-starter. Gretchen Whitmore, Big Mike, all of it, not going to happen. But what? And I explained that they have almost $100 million in campaign capital that will be stranded if you go to a brokered convention. So it's all noise. But I said, if you're going to do it, there's only one way to. You have to convince stubborn old Joe Biden to agree to it first. That's a challenge. But if you can do that, He can either drop out of the race willingly, or he could resign the presidency due to health issues, bringing Cackles Harris into the picture. Harris can run at the top of the ticket cleanly. Either way, Joe says, I have decided to withdraw from the race and defer to Vice President Harris. Okay. Or for health reasons, I am resigning as President of the United States effective this day next week or whatever. Either way, you get straight there, right? You get straight there. And then if there's going to be a swap, that's the only swap you're going to get. It looks more and more like the establishment realizes Joe is a definite loser. Kamala is a most likely loser. But if you want to hold power, you'd rather have a most likely loser than a definite loser. And they are snapping to this. People are coming to the understanding. We've never done this before. Not this way. We've never had a sitting incumbent president who ran during the primary that wasn't even a primary, that has three times the number of delegates he needs to be the nominee. A month and a half from the convention, and realizing, oh boy, we fucked up, and we want to do a substitution, right? This isn't putting in a pinch hitter in fucking baseball. This isn't subbing out a man on a play in the NFL. This is overturning an election. Let me say it again. It's overturning an election. That's what it is. All the people that shriek that January 6th was an insurrection, and you have to be retarded on your face upside down backwards with your head inserted in your ass to call January 6th an insurrection. You call it a riot. You can say there were some things that people that went there did that they really shouldn't have done, vandalism, assault. I'll give you. It's not an if you think that's an insurrection, you don't know what an insurrection is, and you keep fucking around, you might find out. I'm just saying, at some point, people may have had enough, and you may get to see what a real insurrection looks like, but it ain't that. It ain't that. But that's what they're shrieking about, because if you say insurrection to the NPCs, they all chant back, insurrection, 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 insurrection. Okay. So, but that's what they're upset about. They're upset that a group of people went to a place where already cast votes were being certified in an attempt to overturn the election. Whether you think that's what happened or not, that's what they're upset about. That's what they're calling an insurrection. So what they want to do now, they want to go to the Democrat convention where the already cast votes are to be certified, because that's all a convention is certifying the votes, and change the outcome of an election, in this case a primary election. There is laws under FEC, that's the Federal Election Commission, and laws under the Democrats' own policy that makes this complicated, if not impossible to do. And can you do it? Yes, but you put yourself at an extreme disadvantage. And as I said, they don't want to do that. But I think it's becoming more and more clear that the backdoor channels are saying Kamala can win. Left-wing media is now replete with articles explaining the hypothetical ways that Kamala can win. Let me tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get a Kamala Harris campaign, and you're going to get one of two ways. You're going to get it in that Joe Biden is top of the ticket, Kamala Harris is vice president, but everybody knows we're really voting for Kamala. That will be the underlying message. This is really a, now I personally think if I'm working for the orange man, I'm saying we should start saying that right now. A vote for Biden is a vote for Harris. You're actually electing, because nobody thinks this man's going to keep doing this. Like, the only reason they're running him is they really think his name alone is more likely to carry the election. And if I was looking at my number two being Kamala Harris, I'd probably think so too. Right? Like, that's a winning play from that side, I think. But one way or another, that's what you're getting. You're getting Harris is really the top of the ticket this time around. And you watch. And no matter whether or not Joe Biden is the candidate officially, and there's a movement now to accelerate that, to get Biden approved before the convention. Now, they're already going to do that because there's two states that Biden won't be on the ballot for if they don't certify the results by a date prior to the convention. See, something screwed everything up this year, and apparently people on the Democrat side don't think. Usually you get the Republican convention one week and the Democrat convention the next week. There's a little thing called the Olympics that's going to be right in the middle of them. And that pushed the Dem convention out to the end of August, later than normal. And so they have to certify these votes or they won't be certified in like Ohio and I think Washington state. It's some state that like Democrats will win. There's no doubt they will win. But if they don't do this, they give that state and its electoral votes to Trump. Because if Trump's not on the – if Biden's not on the ballot, you can't – you can say ride him in. It's not going to be enough. It's not going to ever overcome that. So you're given a solid – if you do this, that's what's going to happen. So they either have to move really quick with certifying the votes early for Harris, or they're giving up a substantial number of electoral votes, or they have to run Biden. The only clean way to do this – the only really clean way to do this is leave everything the way that it is. Keep lying about Joe. Keep him like the mistake they're making, and they're putting him out there. We got to prove that he's virile and energetic, and that he can really do the job. And they put him out there. He goes, "Yeah, I need to get more sleep and travel less." I'm like, "Damn it, Joe! That wasn't on the freaking card we gave you. Why are you saying that? I'm running the world." He said he was running the world. He traveled around the world twice. Like just fabricated fantasy bullshit. But you're stuck, guys. I'm telling you, 90% chance Biden is the candidate, 10% chance he steps aside and lets Harris in. 0% chance top of the ticket is Newsom or Michelle Obama, Big Mike, or whoever else they come up with. There's a 0% chance. I'll say it's a 0.01 chance that they'll do something that stupid. But again, if they want to win, I can tell you right now. I'll tell you right now. You can believe it or not believe it. RFK. If the Dems just basically threw Biden out with the bathwater, threw Harris out with the bathwater, and embraced RFK, and said, "We don't want to do this, we have to," they probably could win if they can get it done. If they can get, and they have, again, they have to get it done early enough. I guess, well, is Kennedy already on those two ballots? I mean, Ohio is probably going to go to Trump anyway, but you're going to give a Washington state really in a tight election? I don't know, man. What do you guys think? Who do you think the candidate's going to be? Tell me in the live chat right here. We got about 200 people here. Is it going to be Biden, Harris, or someone else? I won't even make you say Newsom or whatever. You don't even have to give me an answer. I'd like to see that while we wrap up. Just go ahead and tell me what you think. Who do you think will be at the top of the ticket? Biden, Harris, someone else. If you want to name the someone else, you can, but you don't have to. I just like to see what comes in. Builder of Castle said, Governor Nuisance is going to win by 300 million votes. You know, are we allowed to question the election if the number of votes exceeds the number of Americans? I mean, obviously we were not capable of, or not allowed to question if the number of votes exceeded the number of registered voters in certain precincts and all. We're not allowed to point that out. But if like there's 350 million people in America and the combined vote total is like 400 million, are we allowed then to say anything? I don't know. Maybe we'll find out. Anyway, 229 Mix says somebody changed their name legally to literally anyone else so he could do a write-in campaign. All right. Let's go ahead real quick and talk about our item of the day today. I'm still running the Vivor galvanized raised beds. They're still on sale for $95 if you have an account with Vivor and you get the additional discount. Plus, you can get another 5% off if you use my discount code when you check out. These beds are great. A lot of people are using them. Ton of you guys bought them. I've gotten nothing but good feedback on them. And I want to reiterate that even less expensive than these beds, and you can get to both of them from the write-up I have for you that's down in the video notes below, they have the one-foot deep beds. And I really recommend a lot of you guys consider going with a one-foot deep bed. It'll take a lot less material to fill them, and it's plenty deep enough. Like, I always made my raised beds between about 9 and 12 inches high until I moved here and I got ducks and chickens that want to eat things out of the garden. And by going higher, I get out of that. Plus, I have no soil here, so I get more depth of soil that way. But 1 foot for a raised bed is fine. I think those are on sale for $60. I know it's the middle of summer, and this is not the time most people think about doing things for the next garden. This is where you're maintaining the garden that you have or whatever, but fall's coming. Fall is a great time to garden, and if you're not going to garden, putting the bed in now and then planting to a fall-winter cover crop to be ready for next season, this is an ideal time to do that. These things are super easy to put together. It's basically screws and wing nuts and some panels. Anybody can do it, even me. I would say it's about a one-beer job per bed, and you really can't even afford to build these beds for much less if you go out and buy wood, which will eventually rot and decay, where these things will last, well, not forever, but a full human lifetime. Check them out, galvanized raised beds from Vavor. And I know they look really big, you know, 4x8. They ship in a box that you can basically pick up and carry around. It's kind of heavy because it's all metal, but they ship in panels, so you screw them together. So shipping is included in the price that I just gave you. It's a hell of a lot better of a deal. Looking at the live feed, it seems like the consensus is more Harris than Biden, but it's a pretty even split. And I guess I'll just, again, I'll hedge that with, even if Biden is officially on top of the ticket, by the time we get to the election, what's going to be being pushed is Harris is the way. Harris is a genius. Harris, like, you know, we'll just hide all the stuff of her rambling word salad bullshit. This is my prediction too with her. They're going to get a little bit more dialed in with the speech writing. She's going to start doing a lot of speeches that are read without taking any questions. She's going to do the Biden basement formula, and there's a reason for it. She is an idiot. Okay. There's no doubt in my mind that that woman is a moron. I would bet that she would struggle to have an IQ score above 90, and somehow she has a law degree. I don't know how that works out, but she does. She is a moron. But she is capable of reading a speech, and no one's questioning her cognitive ability. There's plenty of people who think she's stupid, but they don't think that she's cognitively impaired in the way that Biden is. So it won't be questioned when she comes out and does a teleprompter speech. They'll talk about how articulate she was and powerful, her vision for the future. That's the play. Whether she's top of the ticket or not, they have decided that's the play. And it's the only play they really have because they don't have another one. I know some of you still believe they're going to bring Newsom in. I'll ask you the same thing I said we should ask when Ukraine says they could beat Russia. How does that look? How does that work? How do you get that done? Do you just give up $100 million in campaign money? How do you get Biden to go along with it? How do you do it if Biden doesn't go along with it? How do you do it and get Harris to shut up? How do you bypass the first black woman vice president of the United States in a world where DEI is everything? You know what they're saying right now? This is what, instead of covering all the shit I covered today, what the new narrative is, to say that Biden or that Harris is a DEI hire is racist. Let's examine that for a second, should we? Not even the claim. Just, is VP Harris a DEI hire? What does DEI stand for? Didn't earn it? No, it actually means diversity, equity, and inclusion. It means that we have policies that brings certain people into certain positions because of their diversity, which is code for race, sexual orientation, and sex. That's what it's for. That means women, people of color, unless they're Asian, then they don't count, right? And it means people who are bisexual, transsexual, pansexual, one of 937 other genders. That's what it's code for. Okay. Why was Harris selected as vice president? I believe, and you can fact check me on this, I believe that before the announcement was made, Biden said it will be a woman and it will be a black woman. I believe he said that before he did it. That is the very nature of a DEI hire. We are going to seek out and find somebody to put in this position that matches a certain criteria for race and sex. That is a DEI hire, and there's nothing racist about that. What's racist is doing it in the first place. That's racist. What you should do when you fill any position, especially one as important as the Vice President of the United States, is look for the person who can do the job the best. Instead, they looked for the one that they thought could get them elected, and they overplayed stupidity. There is no doubt in my mind that people running Joe Biden's campaign in 2020 knew for a fact that we would end up where we are right now. And I believe that they felt that it could happen a lot sooner than it did. I believe that every time that fucker went out on stage to talk, there's people who are chewing their freaking nails down to their cuticles, shitting their pants and bleeding out of their fingertips. What is the fool going to do this time? I like my job. I like my money. I like my position of power. I like hobnobbing with rich people. I like this. I don't want it to go away. So when they picked Harris, they picked a person that they felt was literally no threat to him as a sitting president. Let me put it a different way. Let's say that Biden, let's look at this, right? I think part of their fear was maybe the Republicans impeaching him or something. But let's say that right now, everything is where it is, but the Vice President of the United States is not Kamala Harris. It's in the name, you know, and the renamed individual, literally anybody else. But that person is a popular Democrat who is articulate and capable, that anybody would look at and say, that person, even if I disagree with their politics, yes, they could be president. Someone in the model of Bill Clinton or Barack Obama. Maybe not quite as popular as those two guys were, are at their height, whatever, but someone like that, someone that could say, I'll feel your pain. And, you know, 60% of people were dumb enough to believe it, right? People with that kind of, like anybody with that in that league, but someone new and fresh and unknown so far, that had been vice president for 3.5 years right now. Do you think for a minute that this wouldn't already happened? Do you really think if you had a strong candidate as vice president, that after that debacle, that it wouldn't have been all in? Hey, you know what? Dude has to step aside, let the VP run. Instead, you're floating all these names and all this craziness. Why? Because it's her. Because she is an incompetent, moronic DEI hire. That's why. Tell me I'm wrong and prove it to me. Tell me what she has done and accomplished as vice president that she can run on. What? She's the border czar. She went to the border once. He put her over some shit in Europe. It took like 7 weeks to get her ass to Europe. I don't know if you know this. When you're the vice president, you can be like, hey, fire up Air Force Two. I'm going to fucking Europe. And like, boom, everybody takes it. Like, you're going to tell me, seriously? Anybody going to tell me that if they had a strong VP candidate, this wouldn't have already been decided? That you wouldn't have had every Democrat governor on the phone, not to check in on Biden, but to make a phone call and go, hey, this has got to happen. You don't think somebody would have had to talk with Jill? This is why we're sitting in this. They're like, Biden's got the Biden name. And anybody that's going to vote for Harris is probably going to vote for Biden. But some of the people that wouldn't vote for Harris might vote for Biden. But what is he going to do between now and then? And how do we get the campaign? How do we do this? Biden's people did too good a job selecting somebody that much not a threat to him. Because think about how low that bar had to be. You know, if Hillary Clinton were Joe Biden's vice president, that's perfect. If Joe Biden had selected Hillary Clinton as vice president, you're going to tell me that right now Hillary wouldn't be the nominee? Are you really? In fact, I will tell you this. Hillary is a power-hungry bitch. And I think somewhere along the line, this would have happened sooner. She would have cut his freaking knees off because she would have been a threat to him. Why do you think she wasn't Barack Obama's VP? Why do you think Hillary, like the smartest thing Barack Obama could have done, go back to 2008. It was not a guaranteed win. for the Democrats. How powerful would an Obama-Clinton ticket have been? Obama's people looked at her and they said, that bitch, you got to give her something, dude, but do not let her that close. Do not put her a heartbeat away. Have you seen the Hillary list? Dude, no. No. I think Big Mike put the high heel down in the kitchen and said no. Because like everybody said no. She's a threat. You only have the conundrum you do now because the alternative is so effing bad. So I'll ask you right here at the very end. It's a clown show. You're living in a freaking clown show. You're living the ass clown circus. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to escape the circus? How are you going to get out from under the big top? What are you going to do with your life? How are you going to design your life so that this stuff doesn't not affect you at all? Because that's impossible. But how can you mitigate the effects? A lot of times I give you like a laundry list of things that we talk about doing all the time. I'm not going to do that today. I want you to do something you've been trained not to do by the system as a whole. I'm not saying you don't do it. I'm saying you've been trained not to do, so it's easy to fall into not doing it. I want you to put that question in your mind. I want you to ask yourself today, all day long, here and there, just silently in your head, how am I going to design my life outside the circus? Because if you do, you'll find the answers for you. With that, I'll catch you guys tomorrow. I'm going to be on air live tomorrow with Matt Powers. We're going to be talking about soil and compost and gardening. It's basically science geek meets redneck duck farmer. We're going to have a great discussion. I have an interview for you on Wednesday. Can't remember the gentleman's name now. It's escaping me. Sean Overton, who's going to talk about greening the West Texas desert. He has 320 acres of Texas wasteland. He wants to turn it into desert forest. 160,000 subs on his YouTube channel. A lot of you guys are really excited about that interview, and we just had technical issues we couldn't get by. He's all set up and ready to go. We've rebooked him. We'll have him on on Wednesday, Matt on Tuesday. So it's going to be a good week. Two interviews this week. I'll catch you guys again tomorrow with Matt Powers. Just run you round. They said you should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay.